Hello, and welcome to another episode of Untangling. Hope the audience is having a great week. This is the first week of December. Well, technically not the first week. It's December 9th, so we're heading into the second week of December. And I don't know about the Untangling audience, but I haven't really been in the Christmas spirit. The reason I haven't been in the Christmas spirit is because I don't know if it's just due to climate change, and I know a lot of people don't believe in climate change, but right now in Illinois, it is 44 degrees with overcast, rain, fog, and we're in December. So I don't know if it's something where it's because it's not snowing in December that doesn't have me in the Christmas spirit. I don't know if it's just been a chaotic 2022 and there's just so much to digest that the last thing on your mind is probably Christmas. I just haven't been in the Christmas spirit. Even when Christmas music comes on, it's almost like, okay, there has to be more to this. I can't keep listening to the same Christmas music. So one thing I did is I actually started listening to Spanish Christmas music and just to switch it up a little. So that got me a little bit in the festive spirits. It has been just a chaotic 2022 and I just don't know what it is. I don't know if it's access to so much information that by this time of year, people are just simply exhausted. So for the untangling audience, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is simply within my line of work, the annual enrollment period just came to an end on December 7th. Prior was Thanksgiving. Before that was the midterms. So that's just to name a few, not to mention the World Cup, not to mention Elon Musk, not to mention Kyrie Irving, not to mention Kanye West, not to mention Russia, Ukraine. Everything just happening, it is just a abundance of information. So this morning I woke up and I go to Reddit, and Reddit's so fascinating. If you're not on Reddit, I always tell people, you have to get on that app. Anything you want to do on Reddit, it can be done. It is literally, if the Untangling audience loved Craigslist, Reddit is Craigslist run by adults, run by scientists, run by extremely brilliant people. So I look at Craigslist like, for example, if I'll use a drug analogy, okay? So drug analogy is, I look at Craigslist like, okay, you're going to alley if you wanted to, like, you know, score some weed or, you know, your vice of drug. So you go in the alley, you kind of meet a shady person. And I'm not saying I did this. I'm just, you know, saying you always got to keep one ear to the streets. You kind of meet a shady guy or a gal in an alley and, you know, just to get your vice. That's Craigslist to me, right? Where it's not on the up and up, but in a lot has changed about Craigslist. So I'm talking about the real Craigslist, not this PG-13 Craigslist that they have out today. So Craigslist, like, you're going to an alley and, you know, you're just like, I don't know what could happen in this alley, but, you know, I'm just trying to score a deal, as they used to say in the days. I don't know what terminology the kids are using these days. And Reddit to me is a platform where you've really made it in life. You know, you are in that $750,000 condo in downtown Chicago overlooking the lakes. You make a phone call and, you know, your dealer comes, greets the door people. The door people take care of the transaction. So that way, you know, the dealer never really knows who you are. The door people head up the elevator to your penthouse suite, knock on the door, hand an envelope over. And when they hand that envelope over, everybody knows what time it is, okay? But it's just clean. That's what Reddit is to me. The reason why I say that is because I logged onto Reddit this morning and Reddit said, Charles, here is your year in review. And one of the most fascinating things they said, and I love how Reddit, it's kind of like Generation X, Z meets Baby Boomer, meets Millennials, whatever generation I'm part of. It's so confusing. And Reddit said, you were on the app this year where it is equivalent to traveling to the moon 1.9 times. And just going my year in review, here is what you viewed. And I have my cell phone up right now. The first was Better Call Saul. The other one was the NBA. And then the third one was the NFL. So just that breakdown. And then Reddit says, here's what going into 2023 we think you would like. So I really like how Reddit does that. But I bring that up because the abundance of information is so chaotic. How hasn't anybody taken a pledge where it's just too much? I am literally, aside from work, aside from planning for the future, aside from everything going on in the world, I'm at a place where, how do people handle all this? So earlier this afternoon, I was actually talking to my sister, and I know I haven't been on the podcast for a while. My sister came in to visit for Thanksgiving. We had a fun time in central Illinois, and I was just talking to her, and we just started talking about the day. And one of the topics that came up was the Brittany Griner story. And with the Brittany Griner story, for those of you, the untangling audience, who haven't heard, it is such a complicated story. So the Biden administration, President Joe Biden, traded a man by the name of the Merchant of Death. And there's actually a movie on him. And I want to say it's called War Dogs or something, where it's kind of based on his character, but they kind of stay away from it. But anyways, the Merchant of Death, he is a Russian prisoner in the United States. And for the untangling audience, I'm not going to get into the geopolitics of it all. You hear all these experts on all the major newscasts who could really get in depth. But a long story short, the Biden administration traded the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner. And with that trade, I told my sister, here's my views on it. One, I'm extremely happy for Brittany Griner. And a lot of people are very angry. And what I mean by a lot of people, a lot of racist people are very angry. And they'll say, no, I'm not racist. It's about bringing a Marine home. Case in point, Micah Parsons, linebacker of the Dallas Cowboys, African-American, he's not happy with it. He went on Twitter. He went ballistic. How dare you leave a Marine behind for a W? He said he was happy Brittany Griner came home, but no Marine gets left behind. And Micah Parsons, who I'm a big fan of, I literally think Micah Parsons is one of the best players, maybe top four players in the NFL. For those of you who don't know Micah Parsons, rookie out of Penn State, and the minute I watched him play at Penn State, I just said, I've never seen anything like this guy. He reminded me of Von Miller at Texas A&M, but a better Von Miller, which is so hard to comprehend. Because Von Miller, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer if his career ends today. So Micah Parsons, I'm a big fan of. His rookie year, I said, I was texting back and forth to a lot of friends. And I said, listen, forget rookie of the year, because there's a lot of talks about Mac Jones, all these other people. I said, listen, either Chase for the Cincinnati Bengals should be rookie of the year. If not, it should be Micah Parsons. And I know they won't give it to a defensive player, so it's going to be Chase. And Chase did end up winning rookie of the year, so I was spot on in regards to that prediction. But Micah Parsons, he is on another level. One of the things when I watch Micah Parsons that I really like that he does, and it reminds me so much of Von Miller, is his speed is something where the NFL is just like, whoa, we've seen fast linebackers, and they'll move him around either as defensive end, linebacker, whatever position they put him in. His speed is lethal, the same way as Von Miller. The two things that they do that is so mind-blowing to me is Micah Parsons and Von Miller, they could literally take a defensive lineman and physically throw them into the quarterback. For those of you who don't follow football, that is such a difficult thing to do. It is unheard of. Only a few linebackers and defensive ends have been able to do it. A few that come to mind is Lawrence Taylor. The other one would be a defensive end by the name of Reggie White. That's how powerful and quick these guys are. But anyways, Michael Parsons goes ballistic. You know, he's happy for Griner, but he's not happy with the deal. And so you go on Reddit, and I'm talking to my sister, and I said, listen, and she mentioned this as well, where you have people battling robots on Twitter in regards to this. You have people on Facebook battling robots in regards to their views. And then I told my sister, after they're done battling those robots, they go to sleep and said, yeah, I proved my point. We should have never traded the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner. How dare they? Brittany Griner hates the United States. And one thing people can't seem to understand is, whether you like or dislike the United States, which I've never met Brittany Griner, so she's never personally told me that, along with all the other trolls on Twitter. But one thing you have to realize with the United States, it's very simple. If you are a United States citizen, you fall under certain guidelines, okay? What does that mean? What that means is I can go to China draped in a Chinese flag, go to their capital, okay? Set that flag on fire along with the United States flag, just literally just go off the walls. And let's just say the Chinese government arrests me. The United States, they might not, but they have an obligation to bring home their citizens. They could say, hey, this person was anti-American. I call that all noise. That's the beauty of living in America, where you have what's called freedom of speech and the ability to be free. For those of you following the news, you see what's happening in Iran today. Iran is basically where the United States was almost 250 years ago. So hoping them the absolute best in regards to their fight for independence and women's rights. So back to the United States. Now, the United States has an obligation to bring me back, no matter how insane I might be. And the one thing people can't seem to realize is that that's because I am a United States citizen. So one thing the government got right is I don't have the time to go into, and I'm using myself as an example, Charles's personal beliefs, who he voted for, how insane he is. So instead of going into all that, how about we have this rule? If they are a United States citizen that is not properly apprehended by a foreign government, here is what we are responsible for. It's that simple. Now, the right will have you believe, oh my goodness, they took a WNBA star for a Marine. The problem I have with that is everybody talks a great game until it's you in that Russian prison. There are people who listen to Tucker Carlson and they're like, yeah, Tucker, that's such a great point. And we all know if that was Tucker Carlson in that prison and there was a private phone call, hey, Tucker, we could either get you home or that Marine. We all know what Tucker Carlson would say to the President of the United States. Please bring me home, okay? That's how you could tell a phony. And the fact that people are willing to listen to these people is mind-boggling to me. I'll tell you this, if I'm in a Russian prison and Joe Biden calls me and says, Charles, I'm going to leave the decision up to you. We could either bring home a Marine or we could bring you home. And we know you're looking at an 8-year to 15-year sentence in a Russian penal system, which, by the way, that 8 to 15 years is equivalent to 40 years in the United States. Just a wild guess. You better believe I tell Joe Biden, I could care less about that person. I need to get the hell out of this hellhole. And I don't care how you make it happen, and I will for eternal be grateful. That's how my conversation would go with Joe Biden, along with 99.9% of all other Americans. Everybody talks a great game until they're put in that predicament. So, ties it back to, you know, people call him a rat. Tiki69, I don't even know his name, never heard his music, don't know who he is. Just followed his story where he ratted on all his friends and people on Twitter, all these social media. Man, I'm never going to snitch. No way, man. Snitch is not in my family. And I always say, there are a lot of snitches walking around the streets claiming they would never snitch. So don't be fooled until you're put in that predicament. So I'm very happy for Brittany Griner. I'm happy for her family. She gets a chance to be home during the holidays. And what's crazy about this story is, when my sister was in town, you know, we had a discussion, and it was simply like, I don't even know anything about this stuff. You know, I know gummies, I know weed, but it was like marijuana or weed or whatever you want to call it, oil, okay? This was something where she was literally probably rubbing on her legs from being a sore WNBA player in Russia playing for a Russian basketball team. This wasn't even a person getting high. And oh, with the Marine, what we're learning is that this Marine was actually discharged from the military. Charges were pressed on this Marine for larceny, okay? Court-martialed, and Russia does not want to give him up because Russia feels like this person is a spy. And if this person's released, Russia feels like not only could this person help the United States, but this person might also help tip the advantage that Ukraine currently has to a further advantage. That's just what I'm hearing on the streets. Again, this is untangling where with our sources, it's what it is. Just based on what I'm reading in the news that I take, hey, this is a credible source that is reporting this. So that's my stance on Brittany Griner. Extremely happy for her. She was in a predicament she should have never been in the first place. I've joked with my friends where I have said, if that were me, the minute the United States said, if you are a United States citizen in Russia, based on the intel we're hearing, there is about to be a war in the next 2 to 3 months, that sentence wouldn't have even ended before I would have been at the airport. That's what separates me from Brittany Griner. And let's just say I'm on a plane back to the United States and they said, oh, false alarm. Russia's actually not going to invade Ukraine. Better safe than sorry. So hope the untangling audience is having a great week. But just a lot going on. Also woke up this morning to Cinema. I don't even know her first name. I think it's Christine Cinema. Kristen Cinema, who is a senator from Arizona. Announced she is a independent and that she's going to be leaving the Democratic Party. Now, this might sound like breaking news, and I was actually shocked by this news because I personally thought she was a Republican. So imagine my surprise when she said she's actually a independent. Now, that's the real news. But anyways, with Christine, with Cinema, I'll call her Cinema. I don't know her first name, nor do I really care to learn it. She's the senator from Arizona that voted against $15 an hour for minimum wage. She was, I guess, a Democrat who believed in big business, just basically, you know, destroying the worker, trying to make a living for themselves, but wanted to pass herself as a Democrat. And I truly believe that she was a Republican pretending to be a Democrat. And when the heat got too much, where Warnock won his election down in Georgia, giving the Democrats 51 representatives in the Senate, she felt like, up, you know what? I'm no longer going to get all the attention that I need. What can I say? Jolt headlines. And sure enough, she announced she would be leaving. Good for her. Hope her the best. And it's not news because she wasn't voting with the Democratic Party's beliefs regardless. So trust me when I tell you, her career is done. She's washed up and she is going to do every little thing she can to try to hang on to the 1 ounce of power that she has left. So best of luck to her, the people of Arizona. The globe will continue to spin, and I personally do not think it's news, but the media will make it news because they need something to report for 24 hours per day. So what else is going on? What else is going on is had a great interaction with a fellow podcaster, and one of the conversations that came up was simply Deion Sanders. For those of you who do not know, Deion Sanders is, he is a national treasure. He has so many famous quotes that they will literally have to write books upon books upon books with his famous quotes alone. One of my favorites is simply, they should build another Hall of Fame because the people getting inducted into the Hall of Fame today, they are not on my level. And when Deion Sanders said that, you know, the social media went crazy. Oh my goodness, how could he say that? And to be honest with you, I agreed with him. And I think he's talking about two people. I think he's talking about Philip Rivers, and I think he's talking about Eli Manning. Now, when you think of Eli Manning, you think of Philip Rivers. They're not in the same stratosphere as Deion Sanders, okay? Deion Sanders, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, John Elway, Shannon Sharp, Ray Lewis, and there are maybe another 20 of those NFL athletes, Ed Reed. I'll throw Harrison in there because I'm a huge Harrison fan. Indianapolis Colts, Peyton Manning. They belong in one Hall of Fame, and then there's the rest, okay? So I agree with Deion Sanders on that statement. But talking to a fellow podcaster, Deion took Jackson State, and I followed Jackson State. When Deion took the job till he left, I followed this team. Not only did I follow this team, I watched this team, and I remember telling the untangling audience, and this is why I'm so happy the audience tunes in, because in life, you always want to be proactive. You never want to be reactive. And being proactive is almost a year ago, I told the untangling audience, Deion Sanders' son is a top 10 NFL draft pick, okay? With the games I watch at Jackson State, he has all the attributes. He has all the tools. He can make all the throws, and he has his father's DNA, and he is brilliant. He is a NFL starting quarterback. I believe that, okay? So the news is Deion Sanders took the job at the University of Colorado. And a fellow podcaster asked me, what are my thoughts? And the story is with Jackson State was not a great team, but Deion Sanders took them to an undefeated season, okay? And what's so fascinating about this story with Deion Sanders is he was able to partner up with Nike, Walmart, Fortune 50 organizations. Jackson State had more uniforms than the Oregon Ducks, if you can believe that. And we're talking about Jackson, Mississippi, where Untangling did a episode where we talked about the Mississippi water crisis. Deion Sanders was able to overcome all this and not only put Jackson State on the map, but make them a powerhouse that is up for a championship game and can possibly have an undefeated season. Think of that legacy. 1 year, you take a college football team to an undefeated season. If you don't think that's impressive, there's not a human being alive that could take a junior high football team their first year to an undefeated season. I'll go one further. I coached at the YMCA basketball for first graders. I couldn't take my team to an undefeated season. So to take a college level team, I don't care if it's college division 3, 2, 1A, AAA, 1, whatever those numbers are, what Deion Sanders did, I told all my friends this, it needs to be a Disney movie. We could get into the politics of that, why that won't happen. Trust me, diversity, equity, inclusion, we always talk about it on the Untangling podcast. Here's my thoughts. If you can make a movie about some scrub in Notre Dame, we'll call him Rudy, who makes one tackle that's irrelevant, and then you have a teammate who played with Rudy, Joe Montana, who said, that story never happened. you can make a movie about Deion Sanders. Disney, if you're listening, you better be working on this script. Fact, Rudy is not starting on Jackson State under Deion Sanders, okay? That's the level of excellence we're talking about. But anyways, fellow podcaster said, Charles, what are your thoughts in regards to Deion Sanders taking the Colorado job? And I said, Deion Sanders did everything right. He put Jackson State on the map. He bettered a community that was beaten down. He gave kids hope where some of them had zero hope. He got national high school recruits to say, you know what? I'm not going to Alabama. I'm not going to Tennessee. I'm going to Jackson State. Deion Sanders did that. Got top recruits in the United States of America to commit to Jackson State. Now, it's time for the next chapter, which is Colorado. And one thing people can't seem to understand about Deion Sanders' pedigree. Deion Sanders, based on his success on a NFL, and people forget, he played baseball, just as talented, okay? MLB. With what he's been able to produce throughout his career, there is nobody, maybe aside from Tom Brady, who could say, I have his resume. Deion Sanders looks at Nick Saban, and I know the two are friends. He looks at Nick and says, I can do what you do. And not only can I do it, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to take this opportunity to go to Colorado, that used to be a powerhouse. I'm going to make them relevant again, and I am going to build a dynasty. Deion Sanders' thinking, what a lot of people can't seem to understand, his ego, it's up there with Nick Saban, and it might surpass Nick Saban, because Nick Saban, when it came to playing football, was no Deion Sanders, okay? So you gotta understand the thinking of this. But one of the things my fellow podcaster brought to my attention was his words. And his words were, in coaching, you either hang around long enough to be fired or you get promoted. And it's not the word that was used, actually wasn't the word promoted. Deion used another word, but I'm going to use the word promoted. And the question was simply, a lot of people, you know, especially African Americans, they found that to be offensive. And when, you know, my fellow podcaster brought this to my attention, he said, you know, what are your thoughts in regards to that statement? And it really had me thinking. And what it had me thinking is Deion Sanders, no different than any other American, you know, he's a victim of cultural conditioning. And cultural conditioning is simply Jackson State, predominantly black college, promotion equals Colorado, white college. And the argument, and where African Americans really struggle, is why not us? And that is a tough way to look at it. So I know Deion Sanders is doing the right thing, but if you pay attention to details, like this fellow podcaster pays attention to details, words matter. And that really struck me, and I had to agree. He could have chose better terminology, because that's how this system is set up, and Deion Sanders knows how to play chess. He's not playing checkers. He understands what the NCAA wants, what the power conferences want. And right now, Jackson State is not on that level. And Deion Sanders could have stayed at Jackson State for 3 years, went undefeated all 3 years. But guess what? You're not Alabama. You're not Colorado. Even though Colorado went 1-11. You want to talk about culture conditioning? A team that went 1-11 is a better opportunity than a black college that is currently 12-0. That's cultural conditioning. And how do you shift that pendulum to represent that? And I think that is a serious topic for a conversation. So just great call out. It's always good to know very, very intelligent people that just look at the world and they look at arguments differently. Don't get caught up, because we all know, based on our current careers, if somebody came by and they were legit and said, we will quadruple your salary, there's not a person listening that would say, I'm not taking that opportunity. I am so happy where I am. Even if that job were to last 6 months, quadrupling your salary, 6 months of that experience puts you in a better predicament than your current career would in the next 2, 3, maybe 4 years. So just a absolutely fascinating week of information. So I'll leave the untangling audience with this. Last night, there was a Thursday night football game, and it was the Rams versus the Las Vegas Raiders. I did not watch the game. And for those of you listening, if you have Netflix, if you haven't had a chance to watch it. Watch Xanax and Take Your Pills on Netflix. Two documentaries, very powerful in regards to the power of prescription drugs, especially Adderall and Ritalin, how they came to be, how the Mayo Clinic played a major role in the studies in regards to making sure, is this safe for kids? Should we be prescribing it? A pretty funny story. I'm not going to ruin either one for you. Again, it's Xanax and Take Your Pill on Netflix. Two different documentaries, but two blockbusters. But a really, really funny part was simply the Mayo Clinic wanted to do a study on kids and Ritalin at the time. And they said they went to a principal's office of a school, local school, and they said, hey, we think we have a medication that might make your kids who are a little bit out of control calm down a little. And the principal looked over at these two scientists, doctors from Mayo Clinic, and he said anything to make those little bastards shut up. So with that, have a great rest of your weekend and see you on the flip side.
You know, ever since I turned pro in 1989, when I signed the dotted line, it was strange how things changed for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby,
I'll save the money.
Yeah.
Gators on my